On RN, you're listening to The Screen Show with me, Jason DeRosso. And now we're going into the world of TV with our TV critic, Lauren Carol Harris.
Hey,
tag
Jason.
Team, in you come. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks.
Now, what are we talking about today? It's something that's been going under the radar.
Apparently,
it's gone under my radar because I've only watched it this week.
Well, I just can't wait to talk to you about it. Yeah, this US sitcom that's really escaped Australia's attention, Better Things, written, directed and starring Pamela Adlon on Foxtel and about to start its third season.
So tell us more about it. It's about a single mother.
Yeah, Pamela Adlon plays Sammy Fox, a divorced mum and a jobbing, aging actress in LA. So it's this very unique view on the frustrations, boredom, anger associated with single motherhood, but set against a satire of the film and TV industry.
Okay, well, joining us in this discussion on the line is a special guest critic from the US and Vulture. It's Jen Chaney. Hi, Jen.
Hi, Jen.
Hi.
How's it going?
Good. How are you?
Great. I'm really keen to talk to you because I've been reading that you called the first season evidence of Pamela Adlon as one of TV's all too female auteurs. And I totally agree. I think she's an awesomely sharp and lucid thinker and storyteller who writes in these beautifully complex grey zones. You were also called the show blunt, funny, occasionally melancholy collection of stories, clearly coming from the perspective of a woman. Tell me more about that, because she's not just a woman, she's a mother and she's a single mother. What is this perspective that Adlon is offering?
Well, much of the series is autobiographical. You know, she has based a lot of this on her own experiences, both as someone who has been an actress and has worked in Hollywood for a long time, and even in the family situation. You know, she has daughters of her own. She also lives, I believe, across the street from her own mother, as Sam does in the series. So you have this kind of multi-generational relationship between a mother and her mother, and then a mother and her daughters. And I just think all of that personal perspective just comes through in every aspect of the show, the writing, the way that it's shot. And, you know, there are a lot of shows now about how overwhelming it is to be a parent. But what's interesting to me about this show is that it's sort of kind of smiling through it in a way, like finding the humor in it, finding the pathos in it, and then just continuing to press forward without moralizing. In a way that I think a lot of sitcoms, especially mainstream sitcoms, used to do, where you have to learn a lesson at the end. There's not necessarily lessons learned here, but there is just a sense of a full humanity, a full picture of humanity that you get in every episode.
It's very non-judgmental. Let's hear a clip of how real and funny it's a sitcom that the show can be. Here at her daughter's school day to celebrate women, Sammy's the guest speaker, and she uses this platform to bring a pretty taboo subject to light and to bond her audience.
If anybody here has got their period yet, put your hand up. Put your hand up. It's okay. It's okay. Who's cotton-holing? I know, gross. But we're all girls and women here. It's just us. So come on, Frankie, help me out.
Mom!
Come on, raise your hand. Listen, Frankie and I went through it last week. She was stealing her sister's tampons for half a year before she told me.
Mom!
Frankie, be a leader. Get your hand
Mom.
Up.
Mom!
Help him out. Good girl. There. Anybody else?
That's so embarrassing. Jen, let's talk about how much Pamela Adlon is actually doing on the show, how many roles she's performing on and off screen.
Well, first of all, I mean, as the main character on the show, she's not in every scene, but it's, probably 90% of them. So she's doing a lot just as an actress. And then she is writing or co-writing a majority of the episodes, not all, but a majority. And then last season and then in the upcoming third season as well, she's directing every single episode. So when we refer to her as an auteur, I feel like that's really apropos. I mean, this is very much her vision at every level of the process.
And of course, she initially co-created it with her former collaborator, Louis C.K. He wrote the entire first season, directed the pilot, and I think Pamela has really suffered terribly from the fallout around the revelations that he systematically sexually harassed women in the industry. So now she's refashioned the third season with just herself at the helm. And she's, I find it incredible that she has made this entirely new production framework that's basically all women, driven by women. Her artistic fingerprints are all over this as a bit of a kind of benevolent dictator in a way. Jen, do you think season three holds up? Is it different without Louis C.K. involved, or was he already quite background in the creative vision?
Well, I mean, I think they were working together a lot, but I think her vision was really driving it, or at least that's always been my impression. And if you didn't know all of that background and you started to watch season three, and I've watched almost all of it at this point, you would have no idea that there was any change. It still feels very much of a piece with the other two seasons, very much the same show. And, you know, to the point you just made, I feel for her so much with that whole scandal, because it just put her in this terribly awkward position. I think she felt very grateful to Louis C.K. because he gave her a platform that she had never had before. But I think, you know, she also recognized that given her own, you know, her feminist ideals and a lot of the things that she even talks about on the show, there was no way, and not to mention that FX didn't want to continue with Louis C.K., but there was no way for her to continue having him be a part of it. And she's forged forward, I think, just in really brave and lovely fashion.
Mm. For people who might think, oh yeah, they've seen her somewhere before, she's actually plays a character in Louis. She's the sort of the love interest who, it's difficult to call her a love interest in some ways because she's quite indifferent to her, to him. But in some ways, she's expanded upon, well, in many ways, expanded upon that kind of screen persona here. She's kind of, to me, a really interesting mix of being quite spiky, but also very capable of being very tender. There are moments where the series gets inside her head and we see the personal memory she has of growing up, and you know, and so it's a kind of very, very complex self-portrait, I think.
Yeah, that's right. And I don't think she's self-mythologizing either. I find this really interesting that, you know, even though she's often really bored and exhausted and even resentful at her own children, she's very dedicated to them. She even dedicates the show to them.
The parenthood thing really works for me.
It does. As a parent, it does.
It does for me. Jen, what do you think about the depiction of parenthood and the ambivalence of parents towards their own children?
Well, I mean, it's a combination. I mean, I don't think she's ambivalent, but she does get frustrated. And
that's probably,
I mean,
a better word.
If you go back to the very first episode and of the whole series, there's a moment where she's trying to buy school supplies and she just stops her shopping cart and she just yells, "Where is graph paper?" Just to anyone who will listen. And that was the moment where I'm like, I'm going to love this show. Because you just have those moments, you know? You think, I'm an adult now. I grew up so that I didn't have to deal with graph paper, and now here I am at 40 whatever years old trying to deal with graph paper. And so I think it's those little moments that are just these minor banalities in your day-to-day life, but when she magnifies them, it's just so funny and so appreciated.
Yes, actually, I've got another one of those precise moments right here. I want you to hear how Sammy responds to, you know, really an uncomfortable question from her daughter, which is, "Mom, can you buy me pot?" And how she just often doesn't get parenting right. Let's hear it.
I don't even know what to say. That's amazing. I don't know how to get pot. I don't even know where to get... Gabby Schuster's mom said that to you? Okay, that's great. I can't even get grand pot for her arthritis. How about this? How about this? No, no, Max. I'm not going to get you pot.
It's so easy, Sorry. Mom. You get a prescription. You just have to be 18.
Max, honey, can we just go back to the regular hard things like school supplies?
You should be happy I'm honest with you. I could just get it and not tell you.
Oh, yeah. Well, that might be a little better.
Seriously?
Yeah. These things are normal, but you should be ashamed of them.
Why? You're my mom. I want you to know if I have sex or if I want to get high.
Ah! No, hide things from me.
Like, I'm not a parent, but I'm pretty sure you're not meant to shame your children.
No, but I like,
raised
I do.
But that's real.
I
know,
do like,
it?
It is very yeah. real to me anyway. I don't know what you think, John, Jen, but that notion of kids are kind of brought up by perhaps more progressive modern parents, you know, lacking that sense of shame is kind of a funny moment, I think. And her actually saying, have some shame, you know. I thought that was, I think it's one of the many, from the little I've seen admittedly of this series, I think it's one of the many very on point observations.
Yeah, I really like the way that this character often has no boundaries. She has no chill. She speaks to her children basically the way they speak to each other. She creates a very stressful household environment. But at the end of the day, I think Pamela Adlon is so insightful and funny about how cruel families can be to each other, and the fact that kids are, you know, are basically the least sensitive people to their parents' burdens, which is really confronting, but that's where the moments of comedy are made. And as an outsider and a, you know, a non-parent, I think there's a really delicate tone that she's striking about, you know, parenthood in all its complexity. Now, Jen, do you think that Better Things differs deeply from other shows like Catastrophe and Smilf that cover similar territory about this, not quite ambivalence, but these frustrations toward parenthood?
I mean, I think it belongs in the same category as those kinds of shows for the reasons you just said, that they do show sort of a darker side of parenting and the frustrations and sometimes just lack of good judgment that goes on. But what I think distinguishes the show is something you both were just touching on, which is that it just feels very, very real, like everything that you're watching is absolutely unfolding in the moment. And I think, again, that speaks to what Pamela Adlon brings as a creator and as a director and writer. From talking to her before, my impression is that, you know, a lot of times when they're shooting things on set, they go by the script, but that she does allow for some improv. You know, she's been on a million sets in the years that she's been an actress, and she understands what's going to elicit natural performances from people, and I think she just really lets her actors play. And so, for example, whenever there's a scene where, like, a lot of her friends are over at the house and they're all hanging out with the kids, I love it when she does that because it just feels like things are just unfolding in real time, and she's just letting us, you know, peek into her living room, and it's just wonderful.
Jen, in the final moments we've got left, we've spoken a lot about her character as a mother, but what about her as a woman and someone who's still very much sort of dating or has relationships? I mean, how about this dimension of her character?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's something actually in the third season, she is dealing a lot more sort of explicitly with aging and how women, you know, deal with how they age physically. There's a whole opening of the first episode of season 3 where she's trying to get into a pair of jeans, and it is unsparing in its depiction of that process. You know, and that desire to go out, just whether it's with your girlfriends or with, you know, on dates. I mean, and I think she has really depicted how frustrating that process can be too, and how even when you meet a guy that you like, which she did in the last season, that you may even be not quite sure you want to commit because you have all these other things already on your plate. So I think she deals with that, as with everything else on the show, with great nuance and not always the way you think it's going to go. It's always surprising.
Thanks so much, Jen.
Thank you.
Thank you, Jen. That was great. That was Jen Chaney from Vulture helping us discuss and unpack a little bit this wonderful new series called Better Things, which is available
March 19 on Foxtel.
That's
and the first two seasons are out there right now for you to get across.
All right. And thank you, Lauren Carroll Harris.
Thanks, Jason.
That's Lauren Carroll Harris, our resident TV critic here on The Screen Show.